economical use of paper there.
I kept thinking.
21 cents a half ounce.
I kept thinking the trouble with the, with the Xerox things, with the Xerox machine.
No, it's the paper.
Yeah, but I had a hard time finding that out, and they wouldn't tell me.
This should probably be all right, but this one's heavier.
Yeah.
Her sister designed that for her.
And you just got to have a good, heavy, good ribbon on it. Actually, if you've got a good ribbon,
you get a good Xerox.
It'll, yeah, it might not be clean, but it'll be
dark.
Yeah.
Now that
they tell me that that you Xerox the Xerox and you'll get it darker
than the first.
Yeah. Then yeah, if you Xerox the Xerox.
Yeah, I think on that lightweight paper, I imagine that if it's typed on both sides, if you put a backing on it before you.
No,
copy
it's
not. It.
It
doesn't
that's
work.
That's not typed on both sides. Right?
Okay.
Because
that the light goes
the backing.
Through.
Oh yeah.
You know,
you have to put a plain white paper behind it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. It just occurred to me that might help it out.
No, either. They don't tell you. I want to get a little book. Vita Lindsay. That little. He goes to the wheat harvest one. Yeah. I want to get that copied 3 or 4 times, you know, 2 or 3 people might want to read it, and it's out of print. And I hate to leave it there because they'll copy it sometime when the machine's out of it, not working very well. And I don't trust people. I don't get luck like that. Jack Sanders, where'd we leave him? He was that I didn't know anybody had the energy over at Meganope to have to barbecue a pig.
He did it.
They have all kinds of barbecues these days out there now.
They're really, really good, fine, sociable gatherings that I have never ever experienced before. It has nothing of a ring of one of these blasted cocktail parties. Or one of the standard kids' parties that would be going on, where everybody gets completely doped up or something.
Yeah.
And just nothing happens, no talk, anything like that. But this party, has a nice cross-section of people involved in it. And
I'm looking
it's
right
just,
at that damn sun for some reason or other.
It's just thoroughly enjoyable. I just stand around there and eat.
Right out there in front of his house?
Well,
over there
we started over there where the Big Ten Shed is.
Where the truck, yeah. Yeah.
the first one we had was Jack instigated it was more Phil was instigating it. We were going to do a fish cookout. That was was really a funny thing that happened then. It turned out to be a good fish cookout, but Phil didn't get quite enough fish and invited too many people. And we had the table set up in the middle of the street at 2nd Street over, and we were cleaning the fish out there that they caught. See, Phil went out with a cast net and caught the mullet, and I was out there cleaning them with, I think it was Charlie at that time. We had, it was right in the middle of the street, and there's 2 or 3 of us that were milling around doing things. And these 2 men walked up and started talking, asking us about automotive things. Because Phil runs that garage there, and he's a Porsche mechanic. But Phil wasn't there. So we told him that, and we didn't know anything about this. And I'd never seen these men before. And so they just sort of stood around a little bit, and they went over by the airboat, and they started talking about first one thing and the other, and auto racing and stuff like that. And I didn't know what was going on. And then this red car drove up. Sort of close to where we were cleaning the fish, and it was like one of those circus scenes. I don't know whether you ever saw that or not, that little car that drives out on the middle of the circus, and they open the door and about 83 people get out, and then they bring a horse too, you know. I always loved that. and that's what happened with this car. There's 2 women that got out of it, and then I don't know how many children. They just kept coming out. And they just started standing around there, and then walk up there right next to where you were, and just look, and just herded around. Never sort of said anything, howdy do, or what's going on. They just stayed there. And I began to get the feeling that they thought this was truly a political fish fry or something, and they were all coming in on it. And these kids would come right up to where you were. It's like some of these foreign people would just get right up there, you know, because you're white or something, and touch you. And they were standing so close that I had the hose, I'd wash the fish, and then when I'd go to get another fish, I'd move the hose like that, and it'd wash right across one of them. They wouldn't move. You know? I'd look like that and come back and I'd wash. They'd wash right across them. They wouldn't move. That's how close they were. They finally, I left after a while. I folded up shop and went back across the street because I was getting worried. They did leave. I don't know. And they find out they live there. They just moved in. Some strange people from Texas. Get your world invaded like, it's like Martians or something coming in. It's really odd.
And that was right there in Meganobi at a fish fry.
And that was in front of the building. We started doing the most of the cooking out back now. Got it all cleaned out back there.
Oh, yeah.
Just a pit and get a bunch of wood and put in it and start cooking.
You wouldn't be invaded so much back then.
No, not quite as much. A little too public out
there. That's funny.
But old Jack Sanders is sort of the heart of the picnic.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He won't let these people sit down. Now, see, he's been on workman's compensation for 2 years. And when he first started in with this thing about 6 months ago, he would complain mightily about his back, his legs. He couldn't do much. And he'd work a little bit once in a while on the side. But most of the time, he'd just take his check, and get his beer, and drink all day. And now I hadn't heard him complain about his back or his legs lately. And he's hooked up with George Farrar, one of the bearded guys down there, and they're working together, doing repair jobs on the colored housing. And he works him to death. And then he'll go over, like George Farrar brewed up some homebrew and had a bunch of people over there one night when they first started drinking it. And evidently they weren't too experienced about what homebrew will do to you. And Jack drank right along with the rest of them. Well, the next day he wanted to go swimming. And he'd already made arrangements and he went and picked up a couple of people to go swimming that weren't at the party. Now this was, he started at 7:30 or 7 o'clock doing this after this big party. Now, two or three of the other guys were still in bed at 4:30 in the afternoon. They couldn't get up. They were so deathly ill. They were so ill they couldn't even get out of bed. And Jack had already, before they got out of bed, he'd already been over to the beach, mind you. Over Crescent Beach with a couple of people and been all sunburned. Did nothing but go swimming now. That surprised me. He didn't go fishing. Generally, it's all fishing with him. This time he just went over and played in the sand. And then he came back and got all back together again and took us out to the swimming hole. And we had a big cookout at the swimming hole. He just keeps right on.
But his family doesn't bother about those occasions.
No, his wife is, she's quite a machine. You look at her and you get scared right away if you first look at her. I mean, her face is hard. It's got all the lines in it. And she doesn't smile. And she's generally upset about something. You know, like 80% of the time. But she, getting to know her a little bit, she can't. We sat down together out at George's house. He lives on Graham's property. Out past that brick house down the dirt road, past the interstate. And she was sitting down there, and she wouldn't drink any beer, but at least she was with her husband and was talking a little bit. And that surprised me. I didn't know what in the world she was doing there. But that was the night that they had the big party, and Jack took her back home about 9 o'clock, and I saw him leave home. I came back myself. I saw him leave about 10, driving back in his truck, and he went and partied with the rest of them. I don't know when, and he was up next morning. Yeah, goodness gracious. He says that they don't really understand him at all. But he doesn't talk like Paul Harvey about being an individual or being different.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. He doesn't have that conception of himself.
Yeah.
Whereas, in fact, he is.
Well, now he married into that.
I think so.
Well, his wife's.
That must be it, because he came down here, see. But there are too many other relatives here for that not to have been.
You don't know what crowd that is. I wouldn't know them, I'm sure.
I'd have to back off on that, because those relationships are
you
so tied in.
You take old Johanna, you see, I knew his folks out there and where he come from. Of course, he didn't. He was one too far, really.
Mm-hmm.
But now your garbage man, he don't take part in this.
No. People don't talk to him.
He's the one we passed on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you see, I'm trying not to lead it, but you see, I go as far as I think he'll go, and then I shift a little bit. But transition, trying to make transition. Light, so I won't be. See, I want you to do this. This is where you talk, and this is what I've found. This is where you talk, and you don't ask questions. You see, and you listen, and the best green light is just listening. Most people, you see, will keep on. Wade won't go too far with me, cause you see, I used to order him around. But you see, with somebody in the countryside, you see, they'll go ahead if you just listen. You see, that's all you need. And by the countryside, I don't mean exactly the countryside. I find, you see, people who brought up with experience, not too educated. That's something. But now you see we're back to the transition, and you're always conscious of your method, you know. You gotta you can't do this unless you're a scholarly stuff anymore. You see, it's not a part of the culture. You're going back.
You bringing up that education in the countryside. Now this Walt Ebling, see, he's a member of Micanopy countryside, you might say. I don't know what kind of education he got, whether he really got a college degree or not.
Yeah.
I assume he had some portion of him.
Yeah.
But you talk about a flathead, a man with no spirit. From what I've seen of him, he doesn't have that experience, and he doesn't get into anything that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's stolid about it.
Mm.
He just won't live into any one thing.
He's cold.
He'll cut himself off immediately.
Is that right?
You can't converse with him about things. He won't allow his mind to run along with you.
No.
And there's no way you can follow his mind because it's not there. He won't get into any subject you can stay with.
Well, now that's a chance you got to take. And, with any of them, I've run into like that. Old Pardee out there, see, I had to quit. I liked Cecil. But he'd bait me so much. And I couldn't, he talked me down. And he talked to me about what you fellas up at the university was doing.
Yeah. You lost already now.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
I didn't know in the first place. And then, if I had known, it wasn't a thing I could do about it. But anyhow, he was Sunday school teacher. I remember one day out there teaching Sunday school. He wasn't a regular teacher. He just sat in time to. And he read his Sunday school lesson on the way over. That's the sort of scholar he was. He didn't want to waste any time. But this time, he'd been reading the Reader's Digest. And he had the article there he wanted to talk to us about. And you know, he couldn't talk about it. Now, somewhere along the line, you get so you can talk about an article, you can read it, and you can tell people what you read. But you reach a certain point before you can do that. Well, Cecil hadn't done that. Hadn't got there. And he got to talking about that article, and you know, he couldn't quite make it, and so he read a little bit, and that wasn't enough, and he kept reading it, and he started sweating, and the sweat rolled off. It was just labor. He didn't know what it was, you see, what happened to him. Just plain old Reader Digest, see, just simple article in there. And I thought to myself, well, now I can take Cecil out here, and I can show him how to do that. Sam the scoundrel.
Buster started a joke once, and he'd forgotten the ending to it.
Yeah.
He got us laughing though, and that's all that matters.
Your garbage, where about it?
The garbage room.
I hadn't gone back. I should go back and talk to that man a little bit, because I've only had those one or two or three experiences.
One or two or three. Well, Lord help us.
Well, only one time at his house did we sit down in the kitchen and talk a little bit.
Don't tell me you've been in the man's kitchen.
Oh yeah. And it's an authentic tar paper shack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like linoleum piece here and something else going on there and a scrap here and something on the floor here. Just everything just completely at odds.
Well, now you see, I don't want to in general brushing of your arm. I want to know exactly how the kitchen looks, you see.
Well,
I don't mean for you to stop on it, but
I couldn't tell you right now. That
well,
was
you're supposed to do
3 years ago.
It don't matter. Time has nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Well, hell, I'd have to make up most of it. I can't put that into vision right now as in the generalized attitude.
Yeah,
on
well, that's
now, I remember his shed pretty well.
It's
well, the one with all the equipment in it. I think I told you that last time. It's a good, well-built shed. It's not a chicken shed. You know, it's a good, sturdy pole structure with a tin on the top and on the sides, and good, solid closing doors. He has some respect for the material he has in there. Now, I think most of it had a wooden floor in it, and that's better than a junk store. In that shed. I mean, you can spend hours looking at things.
That he has picked up?
Yes, and they're new.
That he's picked up?
Bought? Paid for?
And bought.
I'm sure that he hasn't bought anything on credit. That wouldn't be, I don't think that would fit with a man to use credit.
But it's not stuff that he's got as a junk man.
Oh, no. No, this is a brand new chainsaw and a case. Or a lathe that cost $10,000. Something like that. Now, chainsaw is a couple of $300, and these small mower, you buy a whole mower, one of the smaller tractor things, with all the attachments, the hydraulic business that goes with it, a little front scoop, you know.
Does he use that stuff?
No, he doesn't use it. They don't have better use for it. You've seen those midget tractors, not the little dinky ones, sort of middle size.
Yeah.
And it's like got a front loader, backhoe. It's got hydraulic systems to it. It has everything any of the big ones has.
And he has that.
He has it with all the equipment. Yeah, you know, he bought Morgeson's store. I mean, all the hardware out of it. You know, when he closed up, he went down. He didn't buy nuts and bolts. He bought the bins. Nuts and bolts. You know, how they had those things stored and various things. He bought the whole works.
Well, I went down there one day to buy myself.
He beat you to it.
No, Mr. Morgeson wanted to count the nuts and bolts. And I just couldn't see myself standing there cutting all those nuts and bolts and all those bins. If he lumped them off to me, I would have bought them.
That man is something else, that Morrison. Everybody in Micanopy says he carries water on both shoulders, two-faced. He'll talk to you about me in one way, and then he'll talk to somebody else about me in another way, and then he'll talk to me about me in a different way.
Morrison?
Yeah. I'm reporting what other people said about that. That's not my statement. Three or four people. That's the way he does it.
Well, he had a store.
Yeah, that was a right good store.
I miss that store. And he'd sell you something and then show you how to use it.
Mm-hmm. I never did deal with him that much. And he folded up right shortly after I got down here.
Yeah.
So I went by there with you once or twice, and I think right after that he was gone.
Yeah.
So he's been out of there a while.
His legs were getting bad on him. He was up on that concrete, too. I'm having to keep him going. Y'all ought to do this. You jump, man.
Well, Guy, I'm going to have to go explore that man a little bit more. The information I got that really got me back interested in him again was from George Wilson, who found out that he had property in South Carolina and asked him if he wanted to sell it. He said, yeah, I'll sell it. And George Wilson goes up there and looks at it and comes back and says, well, I've got some people that'll buy it. What do you take for it? He says, I don't know. What do you give me for it? He says, well, how about $200,000? Well, I'll think about it. And he never did answer him. He never replied to that, to whether he would want to buy it or not. $200,000.
How many acres was it?
I don't really know. It's very valuable property. That's the
crazy one.
Yeah. He lives. See, he don't. His story is he's got an estate that's being settled from his parents. He's going to get more than $100,000 or $200,000 out of it himself. Now, that's his story. Of course, like I say, if only 15% of what George Wilson tells me is true, he's the most phenomenal man. 15%. That's all I need to accept. And he's phenomenal. I've seen him run a bulldozer, and I know good and well that he can run a bulldozer. So he don't lie altogether. I mean,
he can handle heavy equipment.
He can damn sure handle heavy equipment.
Well, it's not easy.
And do it drunk as a lord. He built this interstate. See, when he got down here, it was on the interstate. He came down with the interstate, see.
Oh.
And he was handling that, what is it, 15-yard bucket? No, it'd be a six or 7-yard bucket. I don't think they had that 15 because they didn't have a way to haul that dirt off. Because they do have a 7-yard dump truck, which is one of these big monster tandem dump trucks. And this bucket was one scoop. It's filled. And he used to run that and keep a bottle in his pocket all the time. Stay drunk consistently. Running that machine probably runs at several hundred dollars an hour. See, they run it 24 hours a day just to keep it paid for. It's really amazing, and all this. He told me stories about him walking around with $3,000 or $4,000 cash in his pocket, and his boss man couldn't meet a payroll, so he gives him the money to meet the payroll. That's what he said. So he tells me the story about McQuinney and McQuinney's land. Now, I don't know any other information about it. He also says McQuinney owns a couple of 100 acres down some lake country down south of here. But I've seen McQuinney's equipment out there, and I know if he'd saved that money, put it away at a percentage at the bank, that he could just quit right now and have a very dandy life just with the money he's got in equipment alone.
And he still hauls tough?
Yeah. He and his wife work full-time at the crate mill, and they collect all of Micanopy's garbage. Except ours, I think. Somehow they forget us most of the time. And they'll do odd jobs, too, like special hauling for you. And you've seen them work. You've never seen them work?
I've never laid eyes on them.
Oh, that's an experience. Old man McQuinney sits up there and he directs. And he's got the wife and the daughter-in-law heisting those 55-gallon drums. And they're both skinny as rail. They're just like the wife's blonde. She's probably 30. I don't think she's hit 40 yet. It's hard to tell. She's one of those local people that can be anywhere from 20 to 50 years old. And it's really hard to nail them down. Like a 20-year-old person has had such a life that they look 30 or 35 because they've been worked so hard. And then one 45 has some stamina to them that they look younger than 45. It's a strange world. This redneck type or indigenous people, the commoner of the area. But anyhow, she's blonde-headed and skinny, just as skinny as she can be, and doesn't look like she could lift a toothpick. She grabbed that barrel, throw it up, and they're very good engineers about work. I would never collect garbage like they do. I mean, I'd have that system so slicked up by now. You know how to do it easier. They buy a four-wheel drive Dodge truck, and with a flat stake body on it, which means it's not set down in between the wheels. And four-wheel drive means that you're off the ground anyhow, another foot or 18 inches. So they got the truck that you have to lift your object the furthest of any truck to get it onto the truck bed. They got the truck that was the hardest truck in the world to load. And they never need a four-wheel drive truck. I mean, they shouldn't be in places you have to get stuck. And that thing is, we passed it coming down the road. It's a green, about a ton and a half, 2-ton stake body truck. And it's way off the ground.
I've seen. Well, you take that old flatbed truck that old Jimmy Means has. It'd be hard for me to sew something up on it.
And that's the mentality that they're using in this kind of thing. And yet, somewhere, they've accumulated all this money. It's sort of hard to believe they just done it on salaries and part-time jobs.
Oh, yeah.
But I suppose it works like that. If you get three salaries in and you live on a half a salary, you can put two of them in the bank at least. And if you do that for 20 years, you're going to have some money. But I think that the mentality of the people that do that is very strange. I mean, they're always fighting themselves. Effort-wise.
Why then?
Well, just doing things very hard.
So they actually live a pretty austere life.
Oh, yes. Well, the son bought a motorcycle now, Alpha. And he and his wife get on their identical helmets, and they were zipping through town like lower-class playboys, you know? They got a little bit brighter clothes than the motorcycle. Matching helmets. They got a beautiful smile on their face when they run around this motorcycle together. It's one motorcycle and two of them. Alpha. Now, he's the one that came down to Micanopy because he buried his daughter down there. He wanted to live closer to the daughter. Baby, it was 2-3 months old and died. And he works in the state road department all day. He's not quite as interested in the garbage business as his father. He gets him in on it once in a while, but I think he's probably been seeing too many people on motorcycles. I notice he does a lot more playing than the old man does. Old man, I don't think he'd have the least bit of use for riding a motorcycle. Even if he had a young idea, he probably never thought of doing something like that.
He just turned out like that. He was just made like that.
Just stay right behind the plow.
But as far as you know, you don't know. You see, he had to say to the boy, but he probably don't pay much attention to the boy.
I don't feel like he does. That's just a feeling. And from what little I talked to Alfie, I talked to him. He helped me take trash off when I was redoing my building. And they'd leave the truck there at night, and I'd load it up.
Oh.
I mean, they'd leave it during the day while they were at work, and I'd load up that whole stake body truck with that plaster and lathe. it ought to move about 30 tons out of there.
It's not a dump truck.
No, they have to shovel it off. It's very painful, but it's the only way we get it out of there. I'd fill it up, and then they'd take it down and dump it. And I'd pay them so much a load on it. But I fell into a few conversations with him while he was doing that. And I don't have any feelings that his old man rides him or connects him close in any way. You know, the Eblins would try to do their kids.
Oh. Yeah.
The old man saying, well, you know, I know exactly what I'm doing, and this is the proper way for you to do, and by God, you better get to doing it.
Yeah.
You know, get out or something.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy wants to do something, he can do it. And he'll understand if he doesn't do it, seemingly. I believe that's his attitude.
Yes, there's, I don't know what that is. But that, in a way, that's a right, satisfying view to have. You see, I can't go around and listen to people like you as well as you do, because I want to direct them. I can take it so long.
Yeah, you cursed by your credentials.
That's right.
Interesting in the people in Micanopy credentials. That was one of the experiences with Morgeson there. When you started calling you Dr. Miles, and you got hacked off at him. Said you'd rather get called a son of a bitch than a doctor.
He say that.
No, you did. And now those people, like the townspeople, well, they love credentials.
Oh yes,
everybody
does.
Just love them.
It's worse than Germans.
You got a credential, you're immediately authority on anything you want to talk about.
Whether you want to be an authority or not.
This guy Shimwell across the street is assumed to be a lawyer. I think he flunked out of law school, and he doesn't even have a degree, and he can't pass the board, but he goes around talking about he's going to open a law office.
Yeah.
So, by God, he is the authority in town. Even though everybody hates his guts. They don't like him. They'll turn right around and ask him questions.
Mr. Shimwell.
Mr. Shimwell. They'll put him on every bloody committee, you know, to do something.
And he'll set on it.
Oh, he'd love to. Because it's one more chance to disrupt.
Now, he's not the one that talks. Never talks to the purpose.
I've seen him do that.
His purpose is antagonism. It's the only thing I can understand.
Yeah.
It's his major purpose.
Yeah.
He's telling me he couldn't understand. Go ahead.
He seems to be so conniving with what he says. I heard him one night talking, and he went way around the subject to go back to what he wanted. But he went way around. It was at the town council meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he directed the people. What he did was he talked against what you wanted to do?
The planning thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A planning for Micanopy. He talked against it, and he talked to the people sitting in the audience, and he says, you don't want to be directed. You don't want to have this man tell you can't do this with your land. But what he's doing is he's going to get that land someday. And he's going to be telling the people, because he's going to have the authority to do it. But they don't see that. I mean, they can't see that far ahead. But I just didn't like him at all that night when I watched him do that. He went way around and he manipulated people.
Yeah, he's totally self-interested.
Because we want the right to be able to do what we want with our land. But in 5 years, when I have that land, I'm going to tell you to get off. And I just kept that under his breath.
And he has land.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He seems to have a bit of money. He wants... Does he still want to make that a 7-Eleven in that area?
Yeah, he's got renderings on.
You know the Hammaker's house?
No.
Right across from the gallery. Right down.
Right catty corner from my building. Mazu Hammaker.
Oh,
where she used to live.
Where the head horses?
Mm-hmm. Horses out back. Mm-hmm. It borders on Mac's property, the back part of it.
Well, that's a nice place, isn't it?
That's beautiful, isn't it?
He's going to put a 7-Eleven store there. Nice parking, bright lights.
And see, the planning that he's talking against wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't allow a 7-Eleven to go up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He got a house on it.
Yeah. Didn't he want to move it? He's going to pick
the
house up.
Says move it.
Pick the whole house. Really? Pick the whole house up and move it to where he wants. And leave a lot.
It's people with immense amount of money.
And he's only about 35.
I don't think he's that old yet. Maybe
no,
30.
Maybe not.
Oh, really?
That's the most he is. He looks like he's just fresh out of
he's
law.
Not too long. He hasn't been too long.
Yeah.
He's a skunk. You can smell him.
He hadn't been at large that long?
I don't think so. I think he's been mostly tied with the school system and been out fooling around a short while, a few years.
But gee whiz, he's done right well then, hasn't he?
He's losing money. He had more money than he started than he got now, I think. He married his money.
Yeah.
I don't know whether his family had any or not, but none of it's earned money.
You can see that
not
in his face. He hasn't worked.
Oh, really?
I don't mean just an observation. It doesn't look like he's earned anything.
He's never worked.
But he's not going to lose anything on the Hamilton property.
Lord, no. Mm-mm. Well, he's made a lot of money like that. Evidently, he's made a few bad deals. But he's made a hell of a lot of money on swapping property around, mainly because he has cash.
Yeah.
He can go in and buy something for cash at a half the price that a person has to dicker about terms on.
Oh, really?
You know, when people are bailing out in a hurry, they need the cash.
So
they'll give you a big cut on the price if you can give them so much cash for it.
Oh, really?
He gave the Hammerker $6,000. Now, not too many people that would come down with $6,000 cash to buy that house.
Yeah.
And see, that left owing $7,000 mortgage. But they were building a house, and they needed the cash to do the house. And that blasted house is worth a lot more than $13,000. Matter of fact, he said, I don't doubt it, but he turned down $22,000 for it right after he bought it.
And he didn't spend anything.
No, just, he's not.
It doesn't cost him anything to live.
Not a great deal.
Where is he moving it to, do you know?
Yeah, Marion County. Horse ranch stuff.
And he's still going to own the lot?
Moved on 90 beautiful 90 acres over there on the other side of the interstate down in Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic piece of property.
How far down?
Probably about 3 miles, 4 miles from the exit, McNopy exit.
Oh, that
almost down, getting close to Irving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just in the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful property.
Wonder how he found it, you don't know.
No. I was talking to a realtor. Fellow I was doing some work with, and we were talking about different people doing things. Oh, we're talking about, he started talking about driving habits, the realtor, young fellow. And he said, I hope I'm not scaring you, but I've got to hurry on home. And we were coming out from the woods, about, had to drive through about 5 miles of woods. Well, it was a long ways to drive down rutted roads, and he was going rather fast. And he was excusing himself, started talking about driving habits. And he started talking about this fellow that he'd been driving with to go see some property in Marion County. He said, man, I said, thank the dear Lord when I got out of his car. But I'd never drive that man again. He said, he drove a Mercedes. I said, his name Shemwell? He said, yeah, that's who it was. The guy's insane. Now, when he drives that bloody car wide open down any road he can find. And he's one of these abstract drivers, too. I mean, he's not a racing driver. You know, somebody really knows what they're doing. Total trust, and like my father drove. his trust was in God. I don't know what Schindler's trust is in. I have no idea. My father would get behind the wheels, you know, turn it right over to God and put his foot in the carburetor. A lot of people, one old preacher said, Donald, would you mind stopping the car? This is 10 miles from his home. He said, okay. He just opened the door and got out and shut the door and left it.
That's his daddy. Yeah.
And would never ride with him again. Got out
you, you know when I quit going to professional meetings? I went to one of these birds. All these brainy people were just crowded. You see, we got up there before breakfast. It was foggy. And we were going around 70 miles an hour right there by railroad track, crossing it and crossing it. The last one I ever went to.
Wasn't worth death to go to a meeting. God, I'm going to have to get back to those kids. I told that babysitter I'd be back at 5. Time just starts getting better about now.
Well, let me tell you, Wade, round it off. Now, you see, the last track I had of it was, Mimi knows about the town meeting. Jane doesn't know about it. You can fill her in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I was at, you all were trying to get them to authorize you to find out how much it would cost to get the information. Now, where do you stand now?
Nothing's going to be done until that council dies, gets off next year. We'll get them off next year. I'm thinking about asking for their resignation next meeting. They're going to try to put that road back through that we got canceled.
They are?
Yeah. Next Monday, or July 3rd.
Well, what council is it?
It's the same one that was up there. But, see, we've got the meeting declared illegal that they passed that Okehumpton Street paving.
Yeah.
And then they got their attorney back down there, and he wiggled it around so that they re-manipulated legally. So now they can bring it back up again.
Well, who is the chairman of the board resigned?
He resigned, but he's staying on the council.
Oh.
They doesn't have a chairman anymore. Nobody will take the chairmanship.
Oh, he resigned as chairman.
He resigned as chairman. He said he was too busy to be chairman, had too many personal problems going on.
Yeah.
So they tried to get Troy. They didn't ask Ed Glover about being chairman. So they didn't figure having a black one would be a good chairman.
No.
So they asked Troy Blakely, the other new one, to be chairman, and Troy says, well, no, I've only had 3 months experience, and I don't think I should be chairman. So he turned it down. So they asked Hilton Heron. Hilton Heron said, well, I don't have but 9 months to serve, so I don't think I can be chairman. Of course, three of them had 9 months. And the only people who didn't have 9 months was Ed Glover and Troy Blakely. Then they turned to ask Ward. I said, Ward, how about you? He says, well, no, I don't have enough education to be a chairman. Ward. The really bony-faced one there.
Oh, he wasn't there the night.
No, he was
there.
Gone that night.
I've
that's
never
right.
Seen him either.
Yeah. Oh.
And he said he didn't have enough education to be chairman.
Yeah.
But plenty of education to get business McNopey done.
Yeah.
And old Claire Cruz has now requested that somebody, they hire somebody that can take the minutes and type them up. See, she can't write, she can't read too well, she can't type, she can't keep books, but she sure does want to be city clerk.
Yeah.
So she's up to hiring someone to do her job for her.
Yeah, she's working part-time as city clerk, but she's got to sublet every job she does because she can't do it.
Is that right?
Good Lord. I'll bring you a copy of the minutes over that she's taken.
They're crazy.
She doesn't know that the word were is in the English language.
Oh.
And if you do speak anything close to straight English up there, when she gets through with it, you sound like Hilton Heron. You know, you talk their language in the minutes. was this, and they were, he was, she is.
And the most obscure relationships between things that you don't know what's going on.
I forget that. I should bring over just a couple of sheets, just for you, you know, 2 pages.
Well, now, let me see now. The boy you worked with, the one that talks to Mike, what's his name? On the, you know, what was it?
Bill? Bill Proctor, the Vista worker?
No, wore the pretty trousers.
Oh, Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
Troy. Now, you worked right smart with him.
Yeah.
He talks your ear off.
Oh, he does.
Now, he had the map of the road up there. Was that Troy? That night. And he was just going to show the route.
That's all he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he couldn't lay the blood out and leave the blood thing. He had to get that out there, too.
He had the
he didn't even need to bring the road map out there. But now we might have to. These people really have a lot of gall to do that after the whole town stood up and said, no, we don't want that. And then the whole town saw who owns the property. And goddamn, if they're not going to stand right there and say, let's pave it. And they have the ability to do it unless somebody can legally find a way to stop it. Just right out there. It's just like robbing a 7-Eleven right there with 3 policemen grinning at you. You know, because you maybe you've got their hands tied or something, you just waltz up there and say,
Mr. Morrison doesn't own any property out there.
He's fellowshipping with all these people.
Yeah.
He owns enough property in that area that can to make it awful valuable if this other property is developed right.
Well, I didn't know he owned anything.
Oh, yeah.
Except where his house is.
That's a good chunk of property over there, several acres.
Is it?
Yeah.
That he got from Ms. Green?
You know, the 7-Eleven is just chopped out of the piece of property that he owns. He owns a larger piece, much larger than the 7-Eleven's on, that the Deconis bought.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So his is contingent to, is it Greens or Thrashers? Probably Greens. And the paving of the road will help them. They're all, see, they're good, like, his wife and Ms. Green or something, they're all this big bosom buddy thing. One is really friends with the other, and so. And once you decide to do a friend a favor, you don't want to back off because the town's on your back.
Well, now, Jane, don't you think this is remarkable, isn't it? All this insight. Now, this is what I found out. I thought there for a long time about experience, using your experience. And I saw that the people like Mr. Eastman, you see, could report on their experience so well. And it was a long time, long time, long time before I realized that the least interesting of all of it is your own experience. What you're interested in is other people's experience as they reported. And what I found is, and I don't know how many people know this, even the writers, you see, that just a common scalawag sort of fella, you see, like your Mr. McQuinney over there, the experiences he's had, once you find a good place to sit down, he can report on that, and it's not just little. I don't know whether he talks consecutively or not, but some of them do. Well, I see Wade doesn't belong to the countryside, and he still talks well. But the countryside talks well. You see, we can't compete with them. They talk, they report so well. It was a part of the world they lived in. Well, Taylor, you know, like Mr. Eastman, he reports so well, and he sees all those things so clearly. That's what you want to do. You've got to learn to listen. Well, there's a lot to it besides just listening. You see, you've got to create the occasion, and you know a lot of things. But anyhow, the reporting is so much more interesting than the raw experience. Oh, it took me so long to see that. You'd think it was right out there in front of me. I see it all the time, but I couldn't.
That was one of my biggest business failures, Guy. When I first started in it, I used to correspond with all of my clients. Hell, it got so they'd sort of wait for the mail, man. They'd get the letter, you know, because I'd give them a report on the job. But hidden in there was business information. Well, that I had to cut that out. We've got to do this. That was done, and here it is, and goodbye. And I used to write a 3-page letter saying 4 words of information that they needed to know, and just report on the whole thing, and they got a big kick out of it, especially one organization over in Jacksonville.
But you didn't see many companies.
I probably have a few left, but I had to get out of that. I was just thinking about the non-countryside world. They're in the more or less business,
yeah.
And you pick this up, and if you don't learn it, that's that business letter writing thing. If you don't learn it, this cryptic talk and getting things done, you don't have time to dicker around with what you're doing and get your living going.
Yeah.
Time is money, Guy. Time is money. Woo.
Well, now, let me see. Wayne, whose car are you coming in?
Mine.
Huh?
We're carless today. Only one car. Couldn't get hers running. That was another mess. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. You go on home, let me talk to them a little while. Oh, they got to go.
Do you have to go? Not right away. Before
I'll work them over a few minutes.
Well, okay. You going to bring them back over to McNookie then?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see what's happening over there.
All right. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all right, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. Get the kids straight away. Now, see, she knows, she did this all last time.
Okay. See you later.
And she hadn't done any of it. Now, you see, Jane can, she can, you see, there's a whole lot of self-discovery, wasn't all in one direction. But she can do it. You think she's sort of simple-minded, the way she looks there. But see, she didn't miss a thing. And it's just as good as a tape recorder. And you see, people have those faculties. They don't know they have those faculties. I don't have them anymore because I've abused my mind too much. Just consume book after book after book. It'll finally dull it, whatever mind you've got. It'll dull yours too, Defoe. And so what do you think? Now you see, you're gonna knock off 2 or 3 pages just to get your keep hand in?
I tried while I was home, and it was just really hard. I could never get past about half a page, because in my house they don't say anything. My mother says, well, make a relish plate. That's the extent of the day's conversation. She's like,
yeah.
Which of you wants to stack the dishes? And that's it.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? I think really what Mimi ought to do first, she ought to just sink or swim, just face it. Because if you give her some of your reports or some of the other reports
mm-hmm.
that I've got, then she'll just imitate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing about this is, you see, she's got a nice style, prose style, and it's very attractive, but it doesn't disturb anything. You
mm-hmm.
see, it's not just pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, everybody ought to go out on their own.
Do something.
Own, I mean, you know, just flounder a little bit and take a look at it, I think, and then you can look at one
mm-hmm.
or two of the others, just get a little idea, and then do it again. I think that's rather. You see, Wade's full of this.
Oh, I know it.
Now, I don't know, you see, can you see how I talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? You see?
Yeah.
Huh?
Sometimes I can. I feel I can.
Well, you see, you don't just get in for information. You just get the ball rolling,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I used to think a person had to be 30 before they had any sense at all. And before I could get the words out, to see this little girl who's 20 came back from England. She spent a year over there with horses, Barbara. And she reported like an angel. Just such as the countryside couldn't do. She had all their gifts. And the vocabulary, too. And the skills, too. And she wouldn't write because she was hard-headed. But she could certainly talk. So you see, it's the age didn't have anything to do with it. And you see, Suzanne and Rick and Alan and those people, they go off and talk to people. And I know what you might call the people in my world out here. And you see, they don't get what I get, but they get something totally different. That's in a way. Much more interesting.
That's like reading a poem, maybe. It's always amazed me how a person will read a poem and they'll get completely different ideas of what it is than the next person. And something I've always disliked is somebody to tell me what a poem means, like in school and whatnot. Because I don't think that can be done, except by maybe by the poet. That's the only person.
Did you, now the writing, now this is one thing I found out, and I didn't know it myself. I mean, I worked it out along with, you know, all of us together, is what I call rough writing. Rough, you write rough. And you see, you can write off from this, you see. Now, I don't know how your mind works. I can't just pick it up right away. I have to go ahead about my business, get my mind a little fresh. Say after supper, I'll knock it off on the typewriter. Well, it's spotty with me, first time it's spotty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the connections, and there's a whole lot I don't get. But you see, I don't force it, I don't push. I just put on what comes to me. And generally, it's readable, even the first little draft is readable. But see, I go ahead and I can write half a dozen pages. I can write 1,002 words, no trouble at all. Because, you see, I don't think. I don't organize, you see. A bare-like touch, you see. You see, once you make a statement that the man's crazy, that ties you down. You want to make just as little statement as you can. This fellow McQuinney, I see he's interesting with what you're telling it, isn't he? Isn't that nice? But you see, part of it Wade doesn't get from McQuinney, he gets from somebody else reporting, old George Wilson. And then he gets George Wilson reporting on himself. And so you see, the sources are interesting too, even on your spoken. Now, this is Carol and Faulkner, but you don't want to push things. And how much Faulkner saw of this, I don't know. Now, I can't compete with Faulkner, but we can see some of the things, maybe, you see, that he didn't see. But a lot of it did see. And The piece I work on in Faulkner is any of them do, but the one I took up with called Ratliff's in it, because that one called the Hammer, and that's just one piece of reporting after another. You wonder where he got it. Well, he just picks it up just like this. See, McQuinney. See, you don't have to know McQuinney.
Mm-hmm.
You just leave it in your mind a little while, and it'll come out, and you've got. And if you see him, well, you'd want to see him and talk to him. I don't mean you want to hide. You want to know as much as you can about what he does, about the garbage and all. Truck. But you see, Wade's already lined it out for you. And you got something to go on. And it's, you see, I never knew that. I got some things upstairs that I wrote home. I wrote home in World War II from China. Well, anyway, I was there, I wrote about everything that went on. And, you see, I knew I couldn't get into it. I didn't know what it was. But I can look at the letters now. I can see that my mind was tight. And these things that I've found out now, you see, I didn't know then. And it wasn't that I'm smarter now. It was just that I, somehow or other, well, I can account for it, you see. I was Europeanized, you see. So much of education is Europeanized, what I call it. See, people aren't actually in contact with other people. Or if they are, they're suburban, and people hide in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to talk with people who are public. Whatever they say or do is public, private is not. And I don't know. Last August 15th, we were sitting around the table here, and I had some fire reporting. I knew. I just had to surface. I had to quit it. I had to leave it go. Just had to close up that world. And you know, it was the hardest thing to do, because it was so much more satisfying than the world I had to enter. And all this year, you see, I've been trying to surface and make a place for some of the things that I've learned. That's very, very difficult. It's a miserable sort of world. It's miserable compared to the one I had to live in. Well, it's painful. You see, I go around with circles on my eyes, and my mind is tight again. You see, and with these people who talk now, you see, Wade's not in touch with the best ones. He did the best he could. But Mr. Eastman's free. Buster, at his best, is free, but he's crowded now. You see, they're crowding mm-hmm. him. He doesn't talk well. Mr. Weaver is one of them. Both of them are past. Now, they're two people. They don't talk that well. Both Mr. Weavers, both mm-hmm. of them wouldn't talk.
I've only heard Mac Weaver talk. I've never even heard... No, Mac Weaver is the one I've spoken to.
Well,
he never heard about.
Well, Mac doesn't talk as well now. He's
yeah, he's slow.
Too many infirmities. But they're the ones. They're the ones that I call the countryside. And I know them, some of them. I lost the ear of some of them before I learned how to talk. I lost the ear. I didn't. At one time, it's the old Jim Means who was sitting back over at Buster's and smoke a cigar and dust it and just tell them how the income tax was going to be spent. And he knows my place better than I ever will know it. But things happen, you see, and I can't get can't reach him anymore. Somebody could reach him. But now, if you can see any of the things we have, you know, the whole folder, you won last time. But I think you ought to just plow a little bit by itself, Sandra.
Yeah,
you type. You type. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mind it too much, makes too much noise, but I do it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes much faster than walking. Mm-hmm.
Sure does.
Okay, I'll take you home.
Let me see where I'm. I have a paper around here somewhere. Ready?
Dude, I'm dying for a piece of that bread.